Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good myself. We got an exciting show today, unlike all the previous shows that were not exciting.
Right, right. We're going to keep it way upbeat today.
Right. So how was your week?
It was a good weekend. I got to see some movies, pulled some comics that I want to sell this weekend, you know, learned a little bit about the Juggernaut.
Yes, that was going to be... So, well, you mentioned a plethora of things there. So what other movies did you see besides the one that we're going to talk about at the end of the show?
Just some stuff on Netflix I was watching. Nothing that would stand out.
Hey, I finally got a chance to see another episode of Arrested Development. I'm up to 5 episodes so far.
Ah, I haven't seen any yet.
Oh. Now, this is, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, but it might entice you to watch it.
Right.
And if I've seen it, I think it's okay for us to spoil at least this
mm-hmm.
on the show that's been available online for about a month now.
Right.
There is an ongoing, like, one of the new running gags that are introduced in this season is directly related to the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Okay. Can we stop yes. recording now and I can go watch these?
It showed up in one episode and then somebody else told me that no, it's a recurring theme. Like once it appears, it just goes for the rest of the season. I'm like, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching them in some kind of order, like the way they are, or is there
just the way they are? Okay. Yeah. So you said you watched some movies. We'll talk about Man of Steel at the end of the show, of course, for spoilers, but I think everyone has seen it by now, I think, but we're going to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you're going to sell some comics, so you've got it pared down. I saw that you looked like 4 boxes that you're going to get rid of.
So far, I do want to get rid of more, but these were the easiest decisions that I had.
Now, are you just going to have Dave from the local shop, like, put them up for consignment in the shop? Is he going to put them up on eBay? What's he going to do?
Nothing that I know of yet. I don't know what I'm doing with them. I just know that I'm pulling them right now.
Uh-huh. They're out of the collection.
Yes, they're sitting on the floor in long boxes, you know, on the side, out of my way.
Right. I've got about 2, maybe 3 long boxes that I think I can dump, but I just haven't gotten a chance to really get down there and get cracking on it.
Mm-hmm. If not, I don't know what I'm going to do. If Dave can't, then I might, next time there's a Comic-Con, I might mm-hmm. get a table and try and sell them.
Like, oh, that's right. We talked about doing that once before, remember?
Like, really cheap, but the local one, he usually has, like, a spring one, and then a summer one, and then a fall one, and so far mm-hmm. I haven't heard any talk of the summer one yet, so.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty cool if I could, you know, sell some at a con.
Yeah. I remember that plan from a million years ago that we were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we still can.
Weekly Long Box Comics.
Yes, yes indeed, yes indeed. So you'd mentioned also about the Juggernaut. Now this is a discovery that we had earlier in the week. Sometimes these things just pop into my head. Most of my tweets are dumb jokes that very rarely get me in trouble. And I had remarked about the mid-2000s internet meme regarding the Juggernaut. That made its way into the X-Men 3 movie, which I think just goes to show you how bad that X-Men movie was. And I learned that Todd did not know where that came from. You just thought it originated for the movie.
Right. I had heard something that it was from somewhere else, but I didn't know if it was a comic or, you know what I mean? It was just that
right.
It was somewhere before, and I was like, oh, but then you were like, oh, it was a thing. And I'm like, I wonder what he means by a thing.
Yeah, so that's one of those things that is just, I don't know. You know, some of these memes, they come and they go. Some of them strike me as funny, some of them not. And then sometimes they pop back into my head and I'm like, why did people even think that was, like, funny at all?
Yeah, some things aren't time-tested, you know?
Right, so you watched it yesterday or the other day for the first time. Did it live up to your expectations?
I got about a minute and a half in.
Okay.
And I was done. It was just him saying the phrase over and over again a lot.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I could see if they dubbed some funny things too, but it just seemed to be the same thing over and over. And I was like, okay, I think I know where this is going to go, and I'm not going to get any swerves on this.
Right, you got the joke at minute one of the 7-minute clip.
Yes, unless there's more. You tell me there's more.
Ugh, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's actual news to talk about. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was going to be a light news week up until, like, Monday afternoon. And then it was just a tsunami of news.
Yes, it was. It just kept coming and coming. So
There's a Kickstarter that I think our good buddy Dave from the shop might actually get involved in.
Yeah.
We got some movement on announced writers taking over some new books. Spider-Man's sister.
What?
Yes. Even more new books coming out after this whole Villains Month. You know, one I know that we're both going to be very interested in. The other one I'll be interested to get your take on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got tons and tons of digital stuff available, not only for free, but some really cool sales going on from Marvel and DC right now. A lot of books to talk about from last week. It was a huge week of books.
Yes, good books.
Yes, we cross over on a ton of stuff. I know I have my Wolverine and the X-Men. You tried out Green Lantern Corps 21.
Yes.
I'll be interested to get your thoughts on that, since I did not pick that up myself. And I wonder if we're going to cross over this week on what we're most looking forward to this week.
You never know.
I don't know. I got a feeling. I got a light week this week, so it's, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we're going to, but could we keep the streak alive? We shall see.
Right.
And then again, of course, we also have Sketch Party. Lots of good submissions that we saw there. They didn't just come in on the weekend, so I saw that there's a dedicated Twitter account for Sketch Party, not us, though. So that puts us under the gun even that much more to think of a new name for this.
Yeah, gotta stop being lazy, but it is my MO. Yes.
And then, of course, we have our Twitter question from last week, your favorite Superman story. And, you know, we had a lot of good choices, a lot of things that I didn't expect to see on the list, a lot of unique choices, a couple choices that I'm surprised weren't on the list. And then, of course, we will most certainly lead right into our talk of the Man of Steel movie that came out this past weekend. What did it do, $125 million over the weekend?
I think around there somewhere, yeah.
Some crazy number. I think it's pretty much positioned to be the number two grossing movie of the summer, right behind Iron Man 3, unless we get some sort of crazy sleeper hit within the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. But Todd and I have not discussed our thoughts about Man of Steel. I was lamenting to my wife, it's after 83 episodes, we've both finally learned to keep our mouths shut until the show.
Yeah, and that, and the fact that you lead such a rich life that I don't get to see as much. So.
Oh, boy. So, where would you like to begin with the news, my good man?
Let's start with the new books, because that has me excited.
Yeah, all right. So, DC has their Retailers Roadshow going on right now as we speak. I guess it's this thing in New York with some of the higher-end retailers. Essentially them saying that a lot of stuff. You can go online and find a lot of stuff that they were talking about. How the New 52 was a Phase 1 that they didn't really have a Phase 2 or an end game planned out for, which is very surprising. I'm joking about that, of course.
Wait, the surprising part or no game end gamer?
No end game.
Okay.
Also, how the 3D covers that are coming in September, while they're being charged $3.99 for all the books, apparently the cost of printing those is going to cause them to lose money, even at the $3.99 price point.
Comics aren't a business anymore.
I guess. Now, I saw that they had a sample that they were passing around. They gave some retailers, and I guess they're sending retailers samples of what the 3D technology is going to look like. Did our local shop get that in yet?
Not that I know of. He hasn't said anything to me. And usually he does. You know, he's like, hey, here, take a look at this, you know, so you can talk about it on your little podcast. And I was like, he didn't say anything.
I guess they had a mocked-up copy of Superman Unchained, which is one of the books we'll be talking about, was not originally solicited as a 3D cover, but they had a 3D cover that they had given out to some of the retailers, and surprisingly, those retailers already have flipped them online.
Okay.
Getting a bunch of money for them. You know, it's like, hey, here's this freebie just to show you what the 3D technology looks like, and of course, they're selling them online and getting about $400 each for them.
That's sick.
You know what, and we're going to be off tangent here, but I did just want to mention, did you see the story yesterday of the CGC page from Batman 1, I think it was, or first appearance of Joker that was online?
No.
Yes, it was just a single page torn out of an issue of Batman, and it was CGC'd. CGC gave it no grade, because you can't grade just a single page, but I think it still sold for like $600.
Well, I mean, that seems like a good page.
Yes.
For $600, I mean, I have no thoughts on that right now. I can't even fathom that.
So we're into the new books, some of the new books that were announced. One of them I'll be interested to get your thoughts on, and that is the Superman Wonder Woman book, going along with their current status quo in the New 52, where they're a couple. It's going to be written by Charles Soule, who we had mentioned last week is currently writing Swamp Thing, and will shortly be writing Thunderbolts for Marvel,
and Red
with art by Tony Daniel.
And Red Lanterns he's doing, too, I think.
Right, and Red Lanterns. I forgot about Red Lanterns in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, I guess your thoughts on the Superman Wonder Woman book.
Okay, just because Soule is writing it, I'm probably picking it up. Like, we'll get that out of the way. But I think it's really cool. I think this is, you know, the first time Wonder Woman has had two books since the 1940s. You know, Wonder Woman, and I think she was in Sensational Comics. So it's kind of cool, like, you know, they're getting it out there. I hear a lot of people, you know, complaining about how, like, you know, oh, multiple Supermans, multiple Flashes, multiple, well, I don't know about Flashes yet, but Green Lanterns, Justice Leagues. You know what? Wonder Woman and Superman, I think it's a good idea. If that's what sells and that's what makes the money, put it out. I hope it's a really good book. I'm going to be picking it up.
Yes, and again, as you had mentioned, Todd, it's mostly because Charles Soule is writing it, and he is one of those guys right now that I am going to check out pretty much anything he does. This definitely sounds pretty good to me. I'm all for more Superman if it's written well, and I think Charles Soule is proven on Swamp Thing. You know, maybe Red Lanterns will come out and Thunderbolts will come out and it'll all be garbage, and then I'll be eating my words right here on the show.
Right, but you got to try it to find out.
That's true, that's true. So the other book that was announced to be coming out, I think in October, they didn't say for sure, but it would lead us to believe it would be October, it is Justice League 3000, and it's apparently taking the place of the previous Legion of Superheroes book. It's a whole bunch of crazy new designs for a Batman, a Superman, a Flash, a Green Lantern, and a Wonder Woman, done by Howard Porter, and I really like the design that Howard Porter did on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
some up and coming creators, right?
I was gonna say they let some wet behind the ears kids do this book.
Yep.
So So as Todd and I, was this the news story that you were most looking forward to talking about on the show?
Yes, I guess I teased it well enough. Yeah. I mean, when I heard about this, I kind of was like, "Oh my god!" I didn't think that they would get anything in the New 52 because their style doesn't fit like the feel of the New 52, but I guess J.M. DeMatteis, I don't know how you say his last name, said that, like, we're going to do what we do the way we do it, and I was like, I'm in.
So this is the book that there was a tease that they were going to be working on something together. It was speculated that it was going to be some sort of Legion book, since Keith has a history with the Legion. And Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire on a book. You did not need to tell me what the book was.
Mm-hmm.
You could have not solicited this book with any hero, any title. If it was just called the Keith, J.M., and Kevin book, and it with a black cover in a poly bag. No poly bags. But just them on the book, you don't have to tell me anything else, I would have bought this book.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, too, if this will be, because everybody's saying, oh, it takes the place of the Legion. I thought it would be cool, too, if this is the second Earth 2 book.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we could have, like, a Justice League in the year 3000 and, you know, not have to be, like, really beholden to too much. You know, and be like, oh, you only have the one book instead of the whole universe. But I just think either way, it's a good thing that they're not, you know, deep in the heart of, like, you know, DC continuity at this. Like, this being off on their own a little bit, maybe they can go wild and, you know, that'll help them. So,
well, you know, you say, that it would be the second Earth 2 book, but it'd actually be the third Earth 2 book.
What's the second Earth 2 book?
Wasn't there a Huntress Power Girl book?
Yes, but they're on our Earth.
Oh, okay.
See, they're trapped on Earth, our Earth, trying to get back to Earth 2. So I don't consider... I mean, every once in a while, they'll flash back to a story from Earth 2, but they're telling stuff that's happening before the ongoing book now. Like, it's always, like, like each time they tell a flashback, it's, like, 5 years ago when the new DC started, then 4.5, then 4, and they keep getting closer to how they got here. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So that one doesn't count, I guess.
No, at least I don't count it as a as an Earth 2 book.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, maybe this will be an Earth 2 book. We don't know for sure.
Nope, just speculating.
Right, just speculation. But speculation nonetheless, this is going to be a book that I will be checking out regardless.
Yeah, I might get 2 copies.
Well, you have to. One for the regular pile and then one for the Kevin box.
Yes, I have 2 Kevin boxes. And they're full up, so I have to start a 3rd one.
Oh, goodness. The life we lead.
Yes, the crazy life.
Yeah, so I would like to talk about that crazy Kickstarter project that was announced.
Yep. Oh, you love your Kickstarters.
Well, I love my Kickstarters, but I don't know about this one. And by I don't know about this one is I looked at the rewards, and the rewards aren't really jumping out to me as anything special that I really want to get myself involved in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in regards to a series of short films that they're looking to get financed into a feature-length film. I guess 2 of the 5 initial short stories are already done. And they're looking to get it released as a full thing, and it's called His Heavy Heart by Mitch Jenkins and Lex Projects and Alan Moore. This is what Alan Moore is doing with his time.
Yep.
Messing around with making short films. Now, did you watch the video that went along with this, or did you pass this along to Dave?
Dave knew about it already, because I guess he had watched the first 2 short films or whatever they were that were out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get him to back the 1,000 pound. That's not a weight. That's the English money, right?
Yes.
That, you know, it's because you can go to the set, and I'm like, maybe Alan will be there. This is your way to meet him. So I was trying to really push that extreme one on him.
Well, there are some other ones that you can get that I think... the exclusive screening is only 60 pounds.
Mm.
Now, obviously, you got to foot your own way to get to London. But to get to the exclusive screening for only 60 pounds, you know?
That's not a bad price. I don't know what the conversion ratio is, but, you know, what 60 pounds probably is like 70 bucks, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Probably, yeah.
But
so will you be contributing to this one?
Probably not.
Probably not. No. So they're only about a little over 9,000 pounds with a goal of 45,000 pounds. So maybe they will. If you're a big Alan Moore fan and this is the way you want to support Alan Moore, I know he's very vocal in his ways against the current comic industry. And if you want to show your support toward Alan Moore, this is a perfect way to do so. And we'll have a link directly to the Kickstarter right in the notes there.
Yes. Are you going to do it?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. Unless they change some of the rewards. There's still about a month left to go. You know, a lot of travel. I don't need a shirt. You know, we'll see.
Okay. I think you do need a new shirt, but that's between, you know, you and your shirts.
Right.
But
I just got my Hawkeye shirt in the mail the other day.
Oh, are you going to be sporting it later on?
I was. I sported it this weekend.
Oh, I'm hoping to see you in it later today.
And my buddy Ron actually got me, for my birthday, he got me the I'm Not Daredevil shirt that Matt Murdock wore in issues of Daredevil.
Yes, I remember that.
I felt weird wearing it because I normally only wear a dark colored shirt. And it's red, but it's like almost like a pinkish red.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the letters are on it, I felt like I should have put like skinny jeans on.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But it was a very nice gesture of Ron to get me that shirt, and I like me some Daredevil.
But at least it's truth in advertising when you wear it.
No one is going to mistake me for Daredevil.
Okay. Maybe Matt...
No one's even going to mistake me for Foggy.
I was going to say, would anyone mistake you for Foggy?
No.
Okay.
they might mistake me for whoever the mystery villain is, what he currently looks like. They might mistake me for him.
I've been called a long blonde-haired kingpin occasionally.
Oh, so. Perfect segue, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that came out this week was the next in the line of the Marvel original graphic novels. DC has had some success with theirs of the Earth One, Batman, and Superman series. There's a Warren Ellis Avengers one that's coming out later this year. Well, the second one has been announced. It's called Spider-Man Family Business. It is a Peter Parker Spider-Man story taking place before the events of Superior Spider-Man, written by Mark Waid and James Robinson, recently departed from DC, with some fancy painted art by Gabriel Del Toro. But the big hook of this one is that we learn in this issue, this graphic novel, that Peter Parker has a sister? Question mark?
Question mark. Is her name Leah? Princess Leah?
No. Kingpin targets Peter, rescued by a woman named Teresa, who claims to be his long-lost sister. And it's going to be more of a spy story with some stuff with Aunt May, the Rhino, Peter's parents, who have been retconned into being S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, if you remember those stories from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yes. So, I like me Spider-Man. I like me some Mark Waid. I'll be picking this one up. You know, I like Warren Ellis, the Avengers one. Maybe I might pick it up secondary market, but this one will be like a first day purchase for me.
Right. I'm going to try it. I don't know at what point. I don't know if I'll get it right out of the gate. Depends on, you know, how much stuff I have coming out at that time. You know, I'm a Mark Waid guy. We've discussed this. I really like a lot of his stuff. Just it's one of those that trades, like brand new trades, kind of take me off. Like I said, they're knowing that you're gonna have to pay that much. The one thing though is I want to see how they do Spider-Man's sister, because I'm intrigued, kind of like, huh, like you said, question mark. And you know, because it's kind of weird, I never did like the S.H.I.E.L.D. parents end of it, but just to explain how, like, you know, the sister may have known about Peter or been around. I want to see if it's true. You know, you never know, it might be a crazy, you know, a red herring and stuff like that. So it is interesting.
Right, I'm with you on that one. So it's like I said, if it was anyone other than Mark Waid, I'd probably say pass. But it's Mark Waid, so I'll check it out.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So the one last news story that I saved for the end, so it'll tie nicely into our digital stuff this week, is that the new writer of Earth 2, as we'd mentioned, James Robinson, recently leaving not only Earth 2, but also DC, giving up the book with issue 15 of Earth 2, taking over for issue 16, is Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor, very famous right now for writing the Injustice Gods Among Us video game tie-in comic that is doing gangbuster digital sales.
Yes. I think it has, like, all the spots.
Yes. Now, are you still reading Earth 2?
Earth 2, yes, because James Robinson's still on it.
Right, and I know Nicola Scott is staying on as art.
Right.
When Tom Taylor takes this over, will you be keeping with this when Tom takes over?
Yes, because I've read, like, a few, because Tom, our friend, Durenik, is drawing some stuff for Injustice Gods Among Us, so I've seen some stuff and I've read some stuff, and I really like Injustice Gods Among Us, the comic. So I'm hoping that he does a really good job on this Earth 2 stuff.
Now, you know, you mentioned our friend Tom Derriddick, who has worked for DC for quite some time. His issue of Injustice Gods Among Us, issue 23, just came out digitally this week.
Oh, did it really?
Yes, it did. That's why I put this news story last. It'll tie us neatly into the digital books.
Oh, wow. That's why you're in charge.
It's as though I almost have a plan in what I'm doing.
Sweet.
So check that. If you haven't been checking it out, Injustice Gods Among Us, check it out this week, issue 23, with art by our good friend Tom Derriddick. Very interested to see how his stuff is going to look digitally. And search around. You know, pictures of Todd exist on the website and all over the place. See if this is the issue where Tom snuck Todd in there.
Yes, I'm like a Where's Waldo for podcast listeners.
Yes, indeed. So just a couple other digital things that I want to mention from this week. Marvel, as always, has their freebie stuff. They have X-23 number 1. That's Wolverine's clone daughter or some such silliness. They have Uncanny X-Men 475, which is an issue written by Ed Brubaker, which was part of the reintroduction of Vulcan, who is a big or was a big how do you do in the cosmic universe. I don't think so much anymore.
No, I think he got blowed up during that whole Reign of Kings storyline.
Well, you know, sometimes in comics you get blowed up and then you just come right back.
Never. Death is permanent in comics. We've discussed this before.
Yes. But. And the other freebie this week from Marvel is Spider-Man number 18. That's back from the 90s during the Eric Larson written and drawn days. He had taken over the book for Todd McFarlane. And this is the first part of a Sinister Six storyline where Spidey teams up with all manner of folks to take on the Sinister Six. Like Deathlok is in it, the Hulk is in it, Punisher is in it, the Fantastic Four is in it. It's very of its time, and it's a comic that holds a lot of sentimental value to me, because that's when I really started to get more comics as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when I had a little bit better paying of a job.
Paper route?
So I was able to buy more comics.
Was that your paper route?
No, this was when I had not only a paper route, but also a job as a dishwasher at the local restaurant.
Ooh, Pearl Diver.
Yes. So that's when my my finances became greater, and the comics that I was able to pick up became greater as well.
Yes.
So the sales that are going on this week, it started right as our show went live last week in a big Superman sale. I think there's over, 100 and some odd issues, maybe close to 200 issues of Superman. And Marvel right now has about 100 different books available. They're all themed as the first two issues of a bunch of ongoing storylines that you could pick up for 99 cents. May I recommend, if you have $2 burning a hole in your digital pocket, that you try out the first two issues of Wolverine and the X-Men. You try out the first two issues of Daredevil. You try out the first two issues of Hawkeye. Any of those are pretty safe bets, I think, for comic books to check out.
Yeah, I read most of those.
Yeah. And, maybe if when Marvel had their big, 700 number ones, that you already have a lot of those number ones, so you only need to spend 99 cents to get the second issue if you already haven't.
That's half the price.
That's right. So definitely check those out as well in the digital realm.
Mm-hmm. Any other digital news?
No, I think that covers everything digitally that's of note this week.
Ah, and I think now would be a good time to mention our sponsor, Bake Me a Wish. They can deliver cakes all over the country, usually overnight if you get the order in early enough. And I don't know if you know this, but if you're, you have a busy schedule, you can pre-order a cake up to 2 months in advance, which I think is pretty sweet.
Yes, that's good for us folks who forget things or have weird reminders in the way they remember certain dates.
That's right.
That is a good thing to do. Just preload a bunch of those things and a bunch of those dates, and you're good to go.
Yep, they have, cakes, cookies, brownies, mini cakes. They have a great selection. They're BakeMeAWish.com.
Yes, definitely check them out. They've always got some sort of specialty of the month. And I think this month is still the four mini cakes. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Four mini cakes, which I think is a great idea. Like I said, I can't decide most of the time, so I get one of each, and I'm good to go.
Yes, indeed. So, good sponsor of ours, and as I've mentioned before, you don't need to type in any fancy code. You don't need to click on any button. You just go to BakeMeAWish.com, you make your order, and they just know that you came to them from us.
That's right.
Somehow by magic.
Magic or science that we don't understand yet.
Especially the two of us.
Oh, technology is not my friend.
No, sir. No, sir. So let's get into the books that we both read from this past week. Where would you like to begin?
Would you like to start with Superman? Because it's a Superman-centric weekend.
It is a Superman-centric weekend. The first book to talk about is Superman Unchained number 1 by Scott Snyder of Batman, American Vampire, Swamp Thing fame, and Jim Lee of pretty much everything in the world fame.
Yeah, probably the biggest artist in a long, long time.
Yes, so I will be honest, this was the first Superman book that I've been excited for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I did attempt the Grant Morrison Action Comics, but it just didn't feel right, especially when there was like a break in the story for like 3 issues.
Right. This is the second Superman comic that I was looking forward to in a long time. The first one was the Andy Diggle, and then I wasn't looking forward to the Andy Diggle one.
Ah, yes.
But this one I was looking forward to.
And I finally got a chance to read the collection of the digital Adventure of Superman's comics.
Right.
And that's really good, too.
The first one you got?
Yes.
Okay. I like that one. That was a good, that's a good, fun issue. I like that. I'm going to pick those up floppy as they come out.
My mute button's still not working, right? Oh,
that's okay. That's okay. You sound good. You sound great.
Good, good.
But what did you think?
Okay, I'll go first. Right. I like this issue. I had a little bit of a hang-up. I'm not the hugest Jim Lee fan. I think some of his faces look a little questionable, and then I read an interview with him recently that he said that he uses his own face as the model sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
For most of the faces that he draws, because he says when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you need a facial reference, I'm not waking up anybody in the house.
I'm just running around waking people up to draw faces.
Yeah. So this felt not only like a very good Scott Snyder comic, but it also felt like a very good Superman comic. Superman was saving things. Superman was, you know, fighting a giant robot. It had everything that is... Somebody else said this, and I can't take credit for it. This should have been one of the first issues that came out with the New 52. Like, this should have been a Superman comic that came out a year and a half ago.
Right.
It's good that it came out this week when the movie was out,
mm-hmm.
but I think it would have suited them better to have it come out as, like, the launch book of the New 52. Because I think if they did, then Superman would be selling Batman, if not Batman Green Lantern numbers today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about Batman numbers. There's just something about good Batman, but I know what you're saying. It would come close, maybe.
Yes. So I really like this issue. I'm all for more Scott Snyder, Superman Unchained, Jim Lee. If he makes it to double digits on the art, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, me too. I liked it. Maybe just a little less than you, but I didn't, you know, it's a really good book. Scott Snyder, obviously. I've never been a Jim Lee fan. I think we might even discuss this. The first Jim Lee book I ever bought was Batman Hush. So that,
oh, really?
That'll tell you how long into the Jim Lee, you know, like I got. Basically, he was doing X-Men and stuff like that, and I wasn't in that at that era. And then even when I got to Hush, I'm like, he's really good. And then, like, his Superman that he did in the ongoing with Azzarello was, I thought he was a little posy, you know, a little stiff and stuff. So I've never been a Jim Lee fan, so I'm not a fan of the art on this one. But, you know, that it works. The art works perfectly. I'm not going to say that, like, you know, I can't follow things. And I was actually shocked to see less, you know, like, two-page spreads or big open shots like he was doing on Justice League. I guess because he doesn't have as many characters, he can tone it down. Or maybe that's the way Scott Snyder writes, so he has to adjust to that. I enjoyed it. I like where it was going. I like the interesting things that's like the bookend part of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you're like, okay, what is that and what is he doing? My biggest gripe about this issue is the poster.
Okay.
I mean, it's weird. I just don't like the way they did it, especially with the four-page fold-out that they had in Green Lantern, Geoff Johns' last issue, that they could have done something where it's this weird stip thing in there, but, you know, it didn't really ruin it for me. I figured out how to get it open without tearing it out, so I was happy with that. And I ended up getting one of the variant covers for cover price, so I was happy about that.
Ooh, which one did you get?
I got the Dan Jurgens Superman Doomsday one.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm going to have to check. I don't know if Dave has any left in the shop, but I didn't get a chance because there were so many variant covers on this one. I didn't get a chance to see them all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the... Oh, goodness, which one is it here? So I'm looking at them right now.
Garcia
I have them all in
Lopez
front of me.
One?
Yes, I really like that one when I initially saw it. But then as I see the list, I really like that Bruce Timm one.
That Bruce Timm one was odd to me.
Yeah.
A little weird, but as I met Dan Jurgens once in, you know, at a New York con, and I told him, and he was kind of, you know, all broken up about it in a good way, that I'm like, people have their Superman artists, you're mine. You're what I, you know, came on, Death of Superman after that, like, you draw the ultimate Superman for me. So I was like, oh, and Dave was like, oh, I got a bunch of these, you know, I can give you a deal on one. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take it. No, like, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts.
I'll have to check to see if he has any more of the Bruce Timm one, because maybe I might double dip on that one and maybe give it away as a gift. Give the other one away as a gift.
Now, just so you know, some of them, I don't know what the Bruce Timm were. They weren't all like the same ratio. I think
gotcha.
Some sort of, like, I'm just gonna say, you never know. The Bruce Timm might be 1 in 75. I know the Dan Jurgens, because he had a bunch of them, was a lower number, so that's why he was willing to, you know, part a little easier.
Gotcha.
So
you liked it, just not as much as I did.
Right. No, it's a good story, and I do think Scott Snyder always starts off slower, or if I have great expectations for him, but then he gets there as he's going. You know what I mean? He's setting the groundwork.
Right. He's another one of those guys that has built up enough goodwill that I, you know, even if this issue wasn't the best, that I can kind of give him a little bit more leeway to get his footing on this.
Right. Definitely.
And I didn't mind the poster so much. I know Dave, our local retailer, had put it up scanned on his Facebook page, just in case any folks were having some issues trying to get it out of their book. I had no problem with it. Maybe I'm just a super genius.
Well, I didn't have a problem. I just don't like the idea. I don't see the reason for it. Something that can come out, you know what I mean? Just to, either way, you know, it was a gripe. But I liked the book, so.
There you go. So next on the docket of stuff that we talk about is actually maybe it just feels we haven't talked about this in quite some time. That would be Walking Dead number 111.
Yes. I think we're waiting for the 111 issue is what we were waiting for.
Yeah, I don't know. It just it's always come out on a week when there's tons and tons of other stuff, and I think it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit.
I think it does, and for other reasons too, I think. We haven't been talking about it. I'm not going to say it's bad because Walking Dead is never bad. You know what I mean?
For shame.
You know what I'm saying there. I think it's we're in a lull in the storyline where things are building, and we know that it's not long before things go completely off the rails. But, you know, he's putting the pieces into place, and it's kind of tough. Like, you know, when exciting things happen and things are going crazy, it's easier to go like, oh, wow, did you read this issue? But when, like, people are making their moves and counter moves, it's kind of like, all right, yeah, that's cool, and there's some stuff here. But it's a little harder, and I think that's where we are now. But, it's Walking Dead. It's going somewhere.
Right, and that's the thing is I think if you're a longtime reader like Todd and myself, you know to be patient. You know sometimes things are building to something else, and just to give it some room to breathe, if you will. And that's all that's really needed. And it's been a lot of planning stuff over the last couple issues. And with this issue here, you know, some big stuff happens.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Well, let's just say, you know, like that cover, you know, isn't one of those fake out covers.
No. I did like the little, you know, a lot of times the solicitations will give you like a brief synopsis of what goes on. Sometimes the solicitation gives you too much. Sometimes it hypes things up and leads you down one path and it ends up being another path. The little bit of a write-up for this issue was just, Lucille is going to be so jealous. Both sides are making their plans. You know, Rick and his people are making their plans with Ezekiel and Jesus and everybody else, trying to get on the same page. They're starting to get a little bit more confident that they can take
Negan.
Take down Negan. And, you know, Negan shows up for his usual shipment of deliveries, and things go as expected in Walking Dead.
I love Negan so much. Just when he shows up, it just raises the book. He's such a fun, like, you know, like crazy character. And just, like, even with all the, you know, some of the stuff that he does towards the end of this book. But just him talking to anybody is going to be entertaining. And the lady who, you know, who meets him at the gate, I'm like, oh, my God, this is good.
Now, I will say this. You know, you can go back and listen to some previous episodes. I thought Negan would be gone by now. I did not think he would be the lasting force that he is. And I'm okay with that. I've started to warm up to him a bit. In the way of that I enjoy his horribleness.
Yes. You love hating him.
Yes.
But I was going like, no, I think, you know, Kirkman's smart enough to know, like, people kind of love the evilness of the governor and, you know, what happened with that character in the comics and stuff like that. And now he has one that he can, like, you know, really run with. I think, you know, like, obviously anybody can die at any time in this comic. But I think he's having a ball writing him, and that, you know, makes you want to keep him around as a writer.
Yes. So I think just about 2 weeks or so ago, the most recent trade came out. So if you've fallen behind on Walking Dead or want to get caught up, you can get that trade and I think pick up two or three more issues and you'd be right along with the rest of us.
Yep, and the people I think have upped their orders on the issue, so you might be able to find them.
Yes, so definitely check that out if you've been waiting for whatever reason on Walking Dead. This is one of those books that I encourage people, you know, hey, if you're reading it anyway that you're reading it, that's great. But please get caught up with the rest of us so we could talk about it freely.
Yes.
It's just that I know that I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably read this in trade, so.
I believe that. I have a lot of friends who read it in trade, you know. And I have friends who are comic book fans who read it in trade. So it's weird.
Gotcha. So moving on, what would you like to talk about next?
Would you want to do the one-in-one of, you know, what each of us read separately?
Sure, sure. We'll save that other book for last.
Yep.
Go ahead, tell me about Green Lantern Corps number 21 by Van Jensen and Robert Venditti with art by Bernard Chang. Mm-hmm. This appears to be the Jon Stewart story. This is kind of where he shakes out and all this...
Yes.
Green Lantern reassessment with Geoff Johns no longer being associated.
Right. This is Jon Stewart and Fatality. Do you remember her? She was the, you know, the not the Indigo. What's the Star Sapphire? She was the one.
Right. She was like Kyle's villainess.
Right. And she was the one that Jon blew up her planet years and years ago in in Cosmic Odyssey and stuff, and they've been off and on fighting. But now I guess in the Green Lantern Corps that I wasn't reading, they're in a kind of in a relationship. And he,
oh okay,
yeah, she's the one that at the end of Green Lantern 20 in the far flung future, they're kind of together.
Oh okay,
so like they're setting up the grounds of that. Like I don't know how far back that goes if that was just issue 20. That stuff again is kind of clunky, the love stuff. But we're finding out about certain characters in the background, not just Jon, like Salik, how things like he was the Guardian's lackey. So people don't like him because they figured they should have known about the Guardian's betrayal and the Third Army and everything. And, you know, he wants to step down. So there's some cool stuff with that. And Jon Stewart, you know, like I said, with Fatality going about his business. And then it comes into the end of Justice League, Green Lantern, you know, like the big battle that they were having in the regular Green Lantern. So, this is where we see the recruits get recruited, and that's one of the best parts of this. I want to see if they're going to keep these characters around because they show like four interesting characters that immediately in each, I think it's like two pages, we get to see them recruited, and it's done so well, it makes me want to read more about them and shows you what a jerk the Guardians were by the way they recruit these people and like what's going on in their lives and how the rings just sweep them away from it, and you're like, that's, like, the Guardians were really horrible, horrible people on top of everything. So I'm really enjoying this issue, and I want to see where it goes. And if that's two for two on the Green Lanterns, I really think DC's doing their job.
So I ask you the question then. Will you be checking out New Guardians this week?
Yes, I will. And I will be checking out Red Lanterns most likely, too. I don't think that's this week, though.
No.
So, but yes. And there's some other things going on with, like, some aliens that that are known to the DC universe that Jon is tangling with, which is kind of cool, and I want to see where it goes. But all in all, it's, you know, the books are tying in without being overly tied in so far, and I kind of like it, knowing that it's a big, you know, overall feel, but I don't feel like I have to be bogged down with definitely getting all the books. But I do want to.
So this was good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And, so I know I'll be checking out Red Lanterns because that's Charles Soule. And, yeah, I'm glad to hear that the Green Lantern books have not fallen by the wayside with everything that's gone on with the shakeup recently.
Yep, and you get rings.
Yeah.
Round two.
Which ring came with this one?
This ring was the Blue Lantern ring.
Hmm. You know, I passed on the rings this time around only because I have so many from the last time they did rings. Are these rings different in any way?
They're different painted or whatever you want to call it because I guess they're molded from a color. The other ones had the first ones had more of a metallic finish.
Mm-hmm.
These have more of a flat like color to them. I don't know how to explain it. Like if you put them next to each other without like, you know, one with each without the bags, you could tell the slight difference between them on the color. So It's pretty cool. I'll take them. Maybe I'll take them because they come with the book. Maybe I'll sell a set down the line.
There you go.
But
so is it a full set of all the colors? There's not going to be a black and a white one, obviously, this time around.
I think there is. I think somehow, because I think all four books are going to get two rings, one like each the first 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Green Lantern will get a third one, maybe. So that'll be all nine. That'll be the seven and the black and the white.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they are doing them all. Maybe they'll throw a Flash ring or a Legion Flight ring in there, too.
Yeah, but I doubt it. Maybe it'll be the new Justice League 3000 ring.
Oh, if they made those, I'd get one for each finger.
So my book that I read this week is a book that I'm inadvertently becoming like my book of 2013 to push on everyone. A friend of mine who is a Marvel hater got in touch with me recently. He said, give me a Marvel book to read. And he goes, I know you've tried to push that Daredevil down everyone's throat. He goes, don't tell me Daredevil, don't tell me Spider-Man. And this was, you know, outside of Hawkeye, this was the next book right off the tip of my tongue, and that's Wolverine and the X-Men by Jason Aaron. The current regular artist Nick Bradshaw is back on. The last issue is a bit of a prelude to lead us up to this issue, and this is the first part of the Hellfire Saga, which is going to lead us up to September, I think, with the whole whatever the other X-crossover thing that's going to be going on at that time, is the Hellfire Club, which is a bunch of little jerk kids are starting their own school. It's essentially the School for Evil Mutants, the Hellfire Academy, with Mystique and Sauron and Lady Mojo and Wendigo. And as crazy and off the wall as Jason Aaron writes Wolverine School, the Jean Grey Institute for Higher Learning, he writes this school just as crazy, but evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good book, and I think it's a really good book to jump in on. Quentin Quire is becoming a favorite character of mine, even though he is still a jerk, and he hates Wolverine, and Wolverine hates him. He is becoming a very good character in this book, and I can almost see maybe in the future, if things keep going the way, that he might even be able, like, he might be like a new character to break out. I know he was created by Grant Morrison during his new X-Men run way back when. But if Jason Aaron stays on this character on the path, I can see him being like a new breakout character, you know, which we haven't had one in quite some time.
Are you saying we should all speculate and buy that issue?
Yes, whatever the issue, the first Quentin Quire issue of New X-Men is, go slab it now. Because in about 10 years when they make the Quentin Quire movie on the Marvel 30th phase of their film projects.
I'm looking forward to the 30th phase the most, by the way.
Yes.
But go ahead.
But no, I say it every time it comes out. Wolverine the X-Men is a great book. Issue 31, no different. Great issue to hop on. You want to pick up the previous issue, by all means, do so. And you'll be right up to speed with everything that's going on in the Wolverine and the X-Men universe.
And I do want to eat in the lunchroom cafeteria of the Hellfire Club. Because I saw that panel. I was like, that's the cafeteria for Todd.
Right. Yeah, and see, that's the thing. That's the sort of fun I'm talking about. And that's what the book encapsulates to me, is fun.
See? And that's what we're missing in comics, is more fun. We always said that.
That's right. I like fun comics.
There you go. I do, too. Maybe I'll read it one of these days.
Yes, indeed. So the last book that we're going to talk about is another Jason Aaron special, and that is Thor God of Thunder number 9, right in the middle of the God Bomb storyline, with some fancy, beautiful art by Asad Ribic. Now, Todd, you had tweeted the other day that while you were reading this issue, you had goosebumps the whole time.
Yes, it was that good.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all the character, all the character three times, Thor, you know, the different eras, Thor, they each, I love them all for different reasons. I love the recklessness of the young Thor, you know, on the boat, when they decide to go after the, you know, the butcher, and it's like, oh, like two of us can fly, and I don't care. You know, he's just doing his own thing. And I'm like, you know, they have the hammers and just. All the dialogue, like Jason Aaron is killing it on like really cool like man dialogue about the characters and what like the All Father Thor can do, and it just blows like the two other guys' mind. He's like, yeah, you know, like, I've been around a long time. I got a lot of power. And just, like, the way he was describing things that were happening, and, like, at one point they were talking about, like, space whales beaching themselves because this battle was so legendary. I was like, this feels so epic at this moment. It's ridiculous. This is like, off the charts of, like, how big something could be in one book.
Yes, and I continue to say that I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be enjoying a Thor book, let alone a book that has three Thors in it.
You know what's funny? Because I was on a little expedition today to fill in the gaps on that list that I had to do, and I was listening to old podcasts of ours, and there was one where I was talking about, I think it was the Jam Straczynski's Thor, and how I was liking it because Doom was in it. And you were like, man, Thor would be a really tough sell for me. I don't know what it would take to make me read it. I think I only read it like once in my life. And this was like, you know, like almost 2 years ago. And I'm like, that's just funny because, like, I know later on today we're going to be talking about how much you love Thor. So it was kind of
cool. Oh, goodness. Yes. So it was this, it was Jason Aaron that made me love Thor. And I feel as though he's on this book for the long haul. And I'm very excited about this. And it ends on such a really good cliffhanger. I have no idea what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even the way he describes it, I was like, yep, I'm in.
So very excited about Thor. Thor is always a good book, month in and month out. And I feel bad. It's just I can't recommend this right now because you're in the middle of a storyline.
Right.
But go to your local retailer. See if they have them. If he has the previous 2-3 issues, pick them all up. It's worth it. If you're a digital person, pick them all up. Now, I'll say this. Even though, you know, you get the digital code with them, I wish this was one of those books that was in that 99-cent sale that Marvel's having right now. Mm-hmm. Because those first 2 issues of this run, I would recommend to anyone, you know, without question. Just get those 2 issues, dive right in. If you don't love this book after those 2 issues, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know what to tell you either. I mean, get all cots up and you should love it.
What sort of person doesn't love this book?
What person only just likes it? That would be crazy.
Right, exactly. A crazy person would say that. Ugh. A crazy person who probably doesn't listen.
Probably not.
So we could bury him all we want.
Yep. I'll hear about it if he does, though.
So, again, this concludes a giant week of books.
Yes.
For both of us. I have a very light week of books this week. So I'm going to go first in what book I'm most looking forward to this week.
Mm-hmm.
The book I'm most looking forward to this week is Indestructible Hulk number 9. It's the beginning of a new little story arc there written by Mark Waid. And why is this my favorite? Why is the book I'm most looking forward to this week? Because the Hulk, written by Mark Waid, crosses over with Daredevil, which is also written by Mark Waid. So it's Mark Waid writing Daredevil and Hulk in the same book. It's as though I'm getting another issue of Daredevil this month. Yay!
Do you want to know what mine is?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's Indestructible Hulk. I know you probably don't believe me.
Oh, my goodness.
I know you probably don't believe me. You think I'm just doing this to keep the streak alive. But here's my reasoning. It's because this is the first time that the new character Daredevil is ever going to interact with the Hulk. So I think that's really cool. So,
oh, boy.
No, I actually think, because now I have some ideas, like, I haven't read anything or have any knowledge, but I'm wondering if, remember how, like, a long time ago in Hulk, he said, like, if anything happens to me, S.H.I.E.L.D., I have a guy who's going to do things. I'm starting to, like, without reading anything, I believe it's Matt Murdock.
Ooh, because, like, that'd be awesome.
Because he's his lawyer, and there's a confidentiality between the two of them. Mm. I think, like, Waid could really play that off. Like I said, I don't know if it's true or not, but it would make sense because they write both books and stuff like that. But that's why I'm looking forward to it.
That would be cool.
See, if not, we should be writing comics.
So 2 other books of note that I want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One would be, speaking of books that you should be picking up and reading, the second collection of Saga comes out this week.
Ooh, okay.
And if for some reason you were not on top of Saga, you could still pick up the first trade, I think, for like $9 or $10. The first issue is available for free on Comixology, so check that out. But if you picked up the first trade because it's awesome or on our recommendation or because of both, the second trade comes out this week. and you don't have to worry about not being caught up because this reprints everything that's out so far, and I don't think the next issue comes out until another month or two.
I think so.
Yes, because Brian K. Vaughan is just finishing up work on the Under the Dome TV show.
Is that what he's doing?
That's what he's the showrunner on that, yes. Okay,
I'm starting to vaguely recall that now.
Yes, so that's where he's been. That's why there hasn't been an issue of Saga. I had to let my wife down gently to let her know that that's the reason why.
Off the ledge.
Not allowed to watch that. We're not allowed to watch that show because of this.
Oh boy.
So you have a special assignment next week. I know you read it. So I'm almost certain that you're reading it. So I'm going to demand that you talk about it next week on the show, even though I'm not reading it.
Okay.
It's already just go onto the list of things that we're talking about next week, and that's going to be Age of Ultron number 10.
Okay.
Because you're still reading that, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So this is the big climactic finale, and I know the spoilers to this got leaked online the other day. I did not check them out as I was not reading this book. I'm not sure you checked out the spoilers. You don't seem like the type of guy that would.
No, I only know about what they leaked, like, months ago.
Right.
So, like,
right,
you know, someone's going to appear at the end, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that I already know, so I don't know if there's anything else.
Okay. So, yes, I'm very interested to see what your thoughts are on the finale to this big miniseries.
Okay. I'll put it down.
You're my go-to when it comes to Marvel crossover events.
All right. I'll do it. You're my go-to guy when it comes to crossover events with Doctor Who.
There you go. Right.
I had to get that in this week.
Right, the guy with the... I'm getting closer to reading that last issue.
Ooh, maybe we'll do a twofer when the sixth one comes out.
Don't press your luck.
Aww.
Maybe if I lose a bet in between now and then.
I'll have to start betting you.
Maybe. So let's get into our Twitter stuff, our online stuff. We had some really interesting sketches submitted by our listeners, and I always thank you for that. Once we figure out what the new hashtag is going to be, we'll let yous know. Rich Williams, and I keep saying Rich, I think it's Rick Williams, Free Karate Chops on the Twitter. He must have, much like I harass poor Art Balthazar and Franco when I see them, he must have coerced poor Herb Trimpey for a bunch of sketches. They're all really awesome. This most recent one is of Wonder Woman, which you can see up there on the show notes. We're getting a lot more non-professional work done that's still really cool. Mr. Senior with a really awesome Casey Jones that looks like that could have been in one of the old Eastman and Laird, you know, books.
One of my favorite characters of all time.
Yes, and Heather Nelson, another longtime listener, had herself done Guy Gardner and Ice sitting on the couch.
As they should be, Guy and Ice together. I miss Guy and Ice being a couple.
Is Ice still around? She was in Justice League International. I think then she skedaddled after that book went away.
Yeah, and I don't know where she is now. She was hurt, I think, the last we saw her. But I don't know if she was maybe in GL Corps for a little bit, like showing up because Guy and her were off and on again. So I don't know.
I can only imagine that they're sitting on the couch watching Taxi Driver, perhaps.
Yes, I get that. Because I may have read a few issues of Justice League International.
Yes, yes. So your sketch this week, Todd,
yes,
is a Walt Simonson Manhunter.
Yes, from one of my favorite runs of comics of all time. There were backups in Detective, Archie Goodwin, and Walt Simonson, who, to me, that book was, or those backups were 30 years ahead of their time. They're just so amazing. They did a special that did all of them, and then I think there was a written or drawn issue or drawn story with by Walt Simonson that wasn't scripted yet because Archie had died before it, so they made like a little silent issue. But really good, can't recommend it enough. One of the nice guy, he was at the Scranton Con locally, and he was just doing sketches for free on backing boards. He was like, whatever you want. So I ended up getting that for me. And Scott, my friend, is a huge Beta Ray Bill fan. So I ended up getting a Beta Ray Bill for him. And we were discussing like the old days at Marvel and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Have you gotten a chance to read that Marvel The Untold Story book that came out about 6 or 7 months ago?
No, I haven't.
I have the audiobook of it, and I've been slipping behind. I was so far behind on my podcast, and then the book suffered as well that I haven't gotten a chance to finish listening to it. Man, oh man, were things crazy at DC, or DC, Marvel. I only got up to the late 60s. I haven't gotten into the 70s yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm very much looking forward to finishing off that book.
One of the cool things that he did at the show was like there was a young, you know, creator there who was talking about how things went down with Stan and Jack. And he was talking like, you know, this happened and that happened and this happened. And it was kind of cool to see Walt Simonson get up and turn around. And he's like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, none of you were there. He's like, I was there, and I saw what happened. And he was, like, refuting stuff. And it was kind of cool. He was standing up for, like, people and you know, like, trying to, like you know, like, because people have this huge, like, this huge idea how things were. And he was like, no, it was really serene. It was, you know, Jack never said a word, and then Jack was gone. I thought it was just kind of cool, like, the way he was talking about it.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about a Manhunter backup in Detective Comics, and my heart breaks. My heart breaks.
This was a different Manhunter, but I know the one you're talking about. If you ever want to read those, I have them all in the issues. I got them all because I remember. Right. I still remember you telling me, "Oh, I'm going to trade weight," and I'm like, "You do that." So it's me twisting the knife a little bit.
Yes, so you can always tweet to us or email us, and by us I mean me, your sketches if you want us to share them with the listeners of the show. Just tweet them at us at Weekly Long Box on Twitter, and that's the way that you can follow a lot of the news and ongoing stuff that's going on in the world of comics and related things. You can also follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker, that's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And I am LF Chikarason, that's LFCHIKARASON, on Twitter. And that is also my email address at ymail.com. So if you're not a Twitter person for some reason, make sure that you shoot me any way that you want to contribute to the show, whether it be for Sketch Party or for our weekly Twitter question. And our Twitter question from this past week was, what is your favorite Superman story?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of interesting choices. Couple of them not surprising. A couple of them were surprising to see show up on the list. Todd Ingram, another longtime listener of the show, Todd Ingram 3 on Twitter, mentioned Adventures of Superman number 463, titled Speed Kills, one of the many races that he had with the Flash.
It was Wally. That's one of my favorite issues.
Yes, all those race stories are always really good.
Yes, they were.
Our good buddy DJ, the Dooge on Twitter, mentioned Action Comics 296, The Invasion of the Super Ants. Noel Margate, Vegas Margate on Twitter, mentioned Superman Earth 1 graphic novel, Volume 2. Now, I read the first one. I didn't get a chance to read the second one. But if you say that's good, then fantastic. Action Comics 775 was mentioned by Michael Lee Carter. The Secret Identity, Jeff Johns, Brainiac Stories got some love as well. Jesse Tipton mentioned Secret Identity. Joel Jarrett, a new listener, mentioned the Brainiac story. I was happy to see the Reign of Superman stuff get mentioned by Michael Hanskar, as well as our good buddy Josh mentioned specifically issue 76 of Superman, where it was a funeral for a friend, where all the other heroes tried to do what Superman did around Christmas time since he was gone, just to kind of show like what a presence Superman had. And I think that issue had a lot more weight to it than the previous issue where Superman actually died.
Yep.
I agree with Josh on that one.
It's a great issue.
Yes. We had lots and lots of other contributions. The Faraway winner from our listeners, Mike Schaefer, Kevin Hellions, Robot Hammer, another new listener. Those were a couple other folks. Ed Soto, longtime listener, coming back. All mentioned the Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely, All-Star Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're not a Grant Morrison fan, but you've read All-Star Superman, right?
Nope.
Oh, you got to check that one out. Even though there's a lot of crazy Grant Morrison concepts in there, it is tempered with some really great, great Superman storytelling.
Let me just say, I tried it, and then uh-oh, I stopped. So it's not. I didn't care for it. So, but that's cool.
So my choice was the choice of a couple of the listeners. Not enough to be the winner for the week, but that's quite all right. I'll take it. And that would be Mark Waid and Francis Lennell Yule's Superman Birthright maxi series, 12 issues. And I think all 12 issues are part of that ongoing sale with Superman on Comixology right now. So I highly recommend picking all those up.
I never read Birthright. That's one of them that I have to get around to trying.
Birthright is so, so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 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 yes.
So.
So what was your choice for the top Superman story that you've read?
I was coming close with Superman or Action 775 or Superman 775. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I had to go with Alan Moore's Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Yes, that one was actually mentioned by the aforementioned Heather Nelson. Mm. That was her choice, as well as Louis DeSantos, another longtime listener, returning for this Twitter question. So Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, also available on the Comixology sale going on. So if you didn't read that one, definitely check that one out as well. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like wrapping up all the pre-crisis stuff with Superman, I think.
Yep, and you know how like you talk about like stuff sets with you. I'll always remember... you know, Superman having to take all his friends to the Fortress of Solitude to protect him because somebody was after him. And I'll never forget Crypto saving them from the Kryptonite Man and just the Kryptonite Man yelling, stop, why are you doing this? You're killing yourself. And in the end, Crypto, you know, just sacrifices himself to save everybody. I was like, I was a mess. I was like, this is a really good book. So that's my favorite.
Yes, that is a very good book. And what are the issues as I'm looking for the information here? I know it's Action Comics number 583.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the Superman issue number? Superman 423.
Okay.
So those are the two that you're going to want to check out to get that story. Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, Superman 423 and Action Comics 583.
And they have a really good reprint of that. In hardcover, so if you want to go that way.
Oh, they do. Yeah, so if you want to go that way, by all means, or if you want to wait and, you know, you want to get it while the getting's good, you can pick them both up for under $2 digitally.
Yep.
That's what I did.
That's the way to go.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So that wraps up this week's Twitter question. Let's get into next week's Twitter question, unless there was anything else you wanted to mention.
Nope.
All right. So we mentioned before, one of the new books that are coming out from DC in October is a Superman-Wonder Woman team-up book. We have another team-up book coming in about 2 weeks, a Batman-Superman team-up book. Marvel has had a Marvel 2-in-1 Spider-Man team-up. Superior Spider-Man team-up is coming in about a month or so. My question to you is, what is your favorite crazy mixed-up team-up? Two characters, preferably heroes, teaming up in a way that shouldn't work, but most obviously does.
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
Yes.
I have to think about that.
Mm-hmm. I have a back pocket one that I'm ready to just use in case I can't think of a better one.
Sinestro and everybody.
No, it's not that cheap.
Okay.
I'm not that... It's a close cop-out, but it's not that much of a cop-out.
Okay.
But it could be considered a cop-out.
I'll let you go. I'll probably let you go, because I've copped out many times.
So I think that wraps up the regular portion of the show.
Yes.
Again, unless there's anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I'm cool. I'm good.
All right. Well, we are going to get deep and heavy into the Man of Steel discussion here in just a moment. So if you have not seen Man of Steel, this is the part where you're going to want to exit the show. We thank you all for listening to Episode 83. If you have listened to Man of Steel or have gotten around to see it and have come back, thank you. We're going to give like a 5-second break here, a little bit less, so we don't overlap with any spoiler talk.
Okay. Is that 5?
I think so.
Okay.
So, you went to go see Man of Steel on Thursday for the midnight show. I'm sure it was a packed house.
It was really packed for a midnight show, and we didn't go to the 3D crazy one. Mm-hmm. So, like, usually that one, when you go to the shows, usually that's the one that gets all the people. And then it seems like lately that the 2D ones don't, you know, attract the same amount. But this one was crazy, so almost completely full.
We went at the 3 in the afternoon show on Sunday, and the theater was jammed. We had to sit, if we, our local, we have a couple local theaters, but Todd, you know the Cinemark Theater.
Right, that's the one we went to.
We had it, right, we had to sit in almost like the front row-esque theaters. That's how full it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gotta get there.
So, it, again, it was jam-packed, to say the least.
You gotta get there early, get your seats.
Well, you know, sometimes a baby doesn't want to go to sleep when he has to go to sleep, and we can't leave the house until he's asleep.
Ah, so you just left them alone sleeping?
No, okay. my father was watching.
Gotcha.
It, which is
gotcha.
A whole other, you know, which is a whole other circumstance.
Gotcha. I don't have a guide to babies, so I don't know.
Yes,
but anyway,
so I knew very little about this movie, and I was very excited to see this movie, not knowing much about it, other than the fact that Superman was in it. That what's his face? Christopher Nolan was the executive producer, and I knew the villain was Zod, and I knew some of the principal casting, and that's all I knew about it.
Right, me too.
I did my best to avoid all of the spoilers, all the discussion that was happening online, and we're going to include some of that talk in the show notes here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me, so... What did you think of the movie? I'm going to let you go first.
I kind of didn't like it.
Okay.
I have my reasons. Obviously, we can get spoilerific.
We are. That's everyone who saw the movie. Anyone who's listening now should have seen the movie by now. And if you're listening, it's your own fault.
I'm going to give the three big ones we could discuss as we... I didn't like Pa Kent, you know, dying. Especially when they... Spider-Man'd it as far as I was concerned. You know, his last words were, you know, you're not, kind of last thing he said to him is, you're not my dad, kind of a thing. And then he dies. I just needed him to say, with great power comes great responsibility. There's a whole, like, ways you could have got around that with me. And, like, you know, he was kind of, I know he was trying to protect him, but to say, like, maybe you shouldn't, you know, save people, I was kind of like, that's not my Superman, and maybe I'm getting too old. When he killed at the end, yeah.
Who did he kill?
He killed Zod.
I must have missed that.
You missed that?
No, I'm kidding.
I know, I'm just joking. But it was kind of, you know, in the world of superheroes, movies and stuff, you know, we've had, you know, heroes, people, them kill, them have the villain die by some circumstance and I'm okay with that. Things have changed. But in the end, I prefer Superman to be the one that would maybe be above it. And if you did want him to kill, maybe not in the first movie to show that he finds a way around it. And then if you had him kill in the third movie, maybe, or second movie, I know you don't know if you're getting them, but maybe give a little more emotion. Like, I've tried everything I can, but to me, it's just, you know, right out of the gate, he's like, now if this need arises, he can do it. He doesn't like it, but he can do it. And then Superman just... I think I read it on a site, and you don't know how accurate it is, but the collateral damage, when it was, they were joking, I don't know if they were serious or not, but they said, if that ever happened to a city, it would be 129,000 dead and $700 billion in damage. I just think, you know, like he didn't try to take them off into a field or the desert or, you know, into space. It was just through buildings. And after a while, it got, you know, crazy. And then with any other comic book movie, no AC/DC, that makes me mad. But go ahead.
Now, I want to go back to your second point, if I could, before I talk about my thoughts on the movie.
No problem.
To play devil's advocate here in regards to Superman killing Zod, right? There's people who say online that this is an inexperienced Superman who really doesn't know better.
Right.
And that's why he makes the mistake to kill Zod. And then, of course, once he does it, he immediately shows remorse afterwards.
That's, I guess, but that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Okay. So overall, give the movie a yay, a nay, a thumbs in the middle.
Middle to down.
Okay.
I mean, I get why people like it. It's very action-filled and exciting, and it's the new Superman. Like, it's people like it, but I can go into more, but I want to hear what you have to say.
All right. So, I think I like this movie less than you.
Wow.
Let's start with some of the positives. I thought all the actors were very good in their roles. From the folks who did not have a ton to do, like Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White. I usually don't like Russell Crowe pretty much universally. Mm-hmm. He's my quiet Ryan Reynolds. that I don't really talk so much about him because they don't usually put him in movies that I watch.
Right.
I can continue to live my life without seeing Russell Crowe movies, but I thought he was perfectly fine in this movie, bordering on really good. I thought Henry Cavill did a really good job as Superman. I thought Michael Shannon did a really good job as Zod, even though in my opinion, he didn't have a ton to work with. I thought it looked beautiful. It was a beautiful looking movie, even though the color palette was a little gray toned mm-hmm. for most of it. And personally, I think a Superman movie should be a little bit more bright.
Right.
But that's just me. There was a lot of Superman scenes early on that I liked, when he was bearded shirtless man.
Right.
Rescuing people and helping people and doing good deeds and, you know, kind of being a little bit of a jerk, but that was because he was still a young, impetuous kid. Mm-hmm. I liked a lot of the stuff of young Clark when he was saving, you know, he saved the school bus and he did a lot of other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Even Kevin Costner, I think, did a pretty okay job in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about where the like of the movie goes away for me.
Right.
The movie was far too long, and it felt it. You know, most movies these days are 2 hours plus, sometimes bordering on 2 and 2.5 hours. This was right around that 2.5 hours, and it felt every minute of that 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. especially toward the middle. There was about 40 minutes in the middle that they could have trimmed down to about 10 minutes. I actively did not like all the sci-fi stuff on Krypton in the early part of the movie. Mm-hmm. It felt like a redone episode one. Like, you know, I was just expecting there to be long discussions about the Trade Council and trade routes while all that was going on. It just didn't feel like Superman at all. And I know a lot of people, that's their complaint is now after I've seen it, they say it didn't feel like a Superman movie. It feels like the Superman movie we're going to get in 2013, the rest of the movie, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have been very active on Twitter about this. Most people on the side of not liking the movie, some people liking the movie. And I think Gail Simone tweeted that you could like this Superman and Superman comics. Or you can like Superman comics and not like this movie and still be an okay person. And you could still be right with your opinion, is more or less what she said. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. I agree with that.
Oh.
But overall, this was a boring movie. The action scenes felt like they had no consequences to the main people, outside of the thousands and thousands of people that were killed due to Superman's carelessness, which is not the Superman that I know and love.
Right.
My friend Ron that I'd mentioned before... he had said that if this was like Hancock 2, then he would have no problem with it. But the fact that it was Superman, he hated every decision that Superman made in the movie. Mm-hmm. And my brother Tony, who is not in tune with any of this stuff, he doesn't know spoilers, he doesn't know advanced solicitations, he just knows the comics I give him. After the movie, even he said, that did not feel like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that just did not feel like what a Superman movie should be.
Yeah.
But my biggest complaint about the movie is the horrible, horrible dialogue. The dialogue in this movie is maybe some of the worst dialogue I've ever heard in a movie ever.
Wow.
In the history of movies, there's the scene where young Pete Ross, when they're on the bus, uses like some weird profanity to Clark.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't sound right at all. Like, it wouldn't sound right coming out of Andrew Dice Clay, let alone out of a 12-year-old boy.
Okay.
And then there's the part where Lois shows up at the military facility. And then back-to-back scenes, she talks to the military people about a measuring contest.
Right.
Trying to be clean. And then in the next breath, she says, well, where can I tinkle?
What?
Those to me are benchmarks of horrible script writing.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible, embarrassing script writing.
Right. I totally know what you mean. And some of like the other stuff that I didn't like about it was I just felt it was. See, you like the actors more than I did. I actually felt mm-hmm. Superman was super bland.
Really?
Yeah. I just.
I thought he did a good job. Like I said, his like the middle stuff of him, mm-hmm. you know, I could agree with you. But when he was, like I said, shirtless, bearded Superman.
That was the...
You know, I thought he conveyed a lot with his face and his body language.
That was the best part, was the early parts. I was mm-hmm. in during the oil rig scene.
Right.
And I was like, this is awesome. He rips the door off and, you know, he's covered it in fire. And I'm like, this is really cool. And he tries to save them. Then he goes around town and he's like, you know, with the bully in the bar. And I'm like, this is cool. But then, like I said, it goes off the rail. I don't believe Kevin Costner... I don't believe, like, any of the characters. I just feel like it's all forced and moved along. And then I just thought it was crazy at the end, the amount of damage. I was like, they were like, oh, my God, he saved us. And I was like, from what? Like, and people were telling me, like, joking and not joking. You're like, oh, well, he saved the planet, but we lost some people. I'm like, ugh.
Some people?
I know. I was like, it was crazy. I mean, just... him, like, I was like, and I was talking with somebody, and they were like, oh, well, he told people to get indoors. I was like, yeah, but he was throwing things through buildings. It didn't matter. And you know, he didn't say, like, I would have liked him to at least stop and save somebody during the battle. And they're like, oh, well, they saved the people at the end by snapping Zod's neck. And I was like, no. I'm like, I just didn't like it for a lot of reasons. I liked... Superman Returns, all the action scenes, more than I like this movie. Do you know what I mean?
Now, see, that's... For me, Superman Returns is on the strength of that one action scene where he saves the spaceship from coming down in the baseball field.
Yeah, you mean the plane, when that was connected
right, the
to the
plane.
Spaceship.
Okay. So that, to me, is like the pinnacle of Superman scenes, mm-hmm. and there wasn't any one scene that stuck out for me in this movie, mm-hmm. but I still think they're both pretty terrible movies.
Oh, I do, too. I'm just saying that I like the... Maybe it's coming down to say I like the way Singer directs action mm-hmm. than the over-the-top video game-ness of Snyder's. And I felt like I was watching Injustice, Gods Among Us, the game... At times, there were, like, slide moves and stuff like that. And then, like, Zod, I was watching Zod, and I don't know why I want to say I was watching Zod portrayed by Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live
okay.
with a chew in his mouth. All I could think was Zod had a Kryptonian chaw the whole time, because he talked with his lip out, and he had trouble saying S's like this, and I was like... This is freaking me out a little bit. I don't like Zod. And whenever I heard Superman talk, he sounded like Will Arnett. I couldn't get that out of my head. So it was weird.
Now, you're casting a perfect Superman movie for me, by the way.
Will Arnett and Bill Hader?
Yes, that sounds pretty good to me.
Okay, we'll have to push that.
All right, that'll be the next reboot.
Right. But
so the other thing that I just want to mention, and again, I feel bad that this whole thing is, you know, more or less just all like trash in the movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people were asking me, you know, I had a multitude of texts and people asking me at the super secret science job, you know, hey, Superman, what should I do? Hey, should I go see Superman? And I told them no. I said no. And people are like, should I get it when it comes out on Redbox or, you know, streaming or whatever? And my answer was probably not.
You know what the sad part is, though, Leonard? Like, people who aren't, like we're, I don't know, like I said, if we're the old crotchety fans now. I just know a lot of people who liked it. You know what I mean? Who mm-hmm. don't care about Superman. Like, Dave's wife, Tara, you know? She doesn't read comics. She liked the movie, and that's cool. Like, whatever, you know? Other people I know liked the movie. Like, you know, Tom liked it, and a couple, you know, his brother loved it. And I'm like, well, what am I going to say? And this is the Superman we're getting from here on out. And, you know, more, I equate it to Transformers, I think it was 2. Everybody said how bad it was, but it made a kajillion dollars. So this is what we're going to get from here on out.
Right, and I will go on record and say when the numbers come in for this upcoming week, I can see about a 70% drop-off in tickets from last week to this week.
Really?
That's what I would guess. That's where, you know, I'm not putting a bet on it. I'm not crazy. I don't want to have to read two Doctor Who comics back to back.
See, I think it's not going to drop off as much as everybody thinks. I think this is going to have some staying power. And overseas is going to kill it because he's one of those iconic characters that it's like, you know, Mickey Mouse, the crucifix, and the S on Superman's chest. That's known all over the world. So
the one last thing that I do want to mention, I'd be remiss to mention here, is I was intrigued with them doing a little bit of a different relationship between Lois and Superman, that she knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like the fact of her calling him Clark while in the Superman costume.
Right.
In front of a bunch of people from the military who just dropped them off at the Kent household.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't like, at the end of the movie, while I did like Superman being a little bit more lighthearted like he should be toward the end of the movie, but the fact that when he comes down, like, throws that satellite that they're using to track him.
Right.
And he says, he's like, oh, I was, you know, come on, I was raised in Kansas. I'm more American than most people.
You'll never find where I live, but hey, I was born in Kansas.
Exactly.
That's exactly what Dave said to me today after seeing it. He's like, way to narrow down the search, big guy.
Right.
So...
it could have been anywhere. Now it's we've narrowed out the other 49 states.
Or anywhere in the world.
Right. But so, yeah, again, unfortunately, the show's recommendation for this movie is don't buy.
Right.
Use the money that you would have bought for the ticket. You know, you go to an earlier matinee, it's like $6, you know, in our neck of the woods. Use that $6 to go buy the two issues of Whatever Happened to Man of Tomorrow and maybe like Hawkeye number one, or go to your local retailer and purchase Superman Unchained number one. I think you'll get a better Superman story.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, you know, you went to a late evening show. I haven't been to a late evening show in about 4 years. How much are those tickets?
$8.50, $9.
Okay, so that's almost like the first two-thirds of Superman Birthright, which is a much better Superman story.
And you could probably get all of Birthright if you go for one of them fancy-smancy 3D IMAX movies.
That's right.
I think they're like $16 or something like that.
So if you need Superman in your life, we've just given you like three or four alternatives. It's a shame that this movie was not enjoyable.
You know, it's funny, I mentioned there have been two superhero movies this year. I didn't enjoy either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest, you know, like this year was Star Trek 2. So
now I'll say this: I know that you did not like Iron Man 3, and I actually liked Iron Man 3.
Did you finally get to see it?
Yes, I did. We talked about it on the show.
Did we? I forget.
Oh my goodness! What was better, Man of Steel or Iron Man 3?
I'm gonna go with Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I'll take
because
it.
Because up until the house falling into the sea in Iron Man 3, which rhymed, that was really mm-hmm. nice. I really liked that movie. Like, up until, you know, like, after he got the oil rig and stuff like that, I only liked the movie. I don't know if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? So when it goes off the rails for me, I liked the other one more up until that point.
Gotcha.
Which one you liked Iron Man 3 more, I bet.
Iron Man 3 leaps and bounds.
Right. It's close for me. I don't know why, but I don't know. I'm crazy. I'm getting too old for this stuff.
I guess.
But.
So, again, I do thank everyone for listening for this extended episode. Whenever we have these spoiler-filled episodes, it's always an extended episode, you know?
Right. We got to have that at the end, and then we both go a little crazy, good or bad.
Right. We go crazy.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I like that we're crazy.
The way we talk about it, like, you know, whether we love it or hate it, we're like, oh, this happened and that happened, and we're not crazy, you know, like homicidal crazy, but we're crazy.
No. Right. Exactly. So, again, I do thank you all for listening. This is episode 83 of the Weekly Long Box, and for Todd, this is Leonard, and we'll catch you all here next week.